We continue our learning. Lelu Nishmas Tavim Emanachem Mishav Mecham Yacham Bepidichos Shalei Omer Tzote Perek Gimel Mishnah Gimel. Ad Shelo Nimchaka HaMegillah Omer Eini Shoso. You have a case where before the Megillah was erased, the Tzote says, you know, Eini Shoso, I don't want to drink. So she didn't say Tamea Ani. She didn't admit that she was she's Tamea. But she says, no, I don't want to drink. So halacha is that we don't make her drink because it wasn't erased yet. So she says, Eini Shoso, I don't want to drink. So what do we do with the Megillah? We also had a carbon mincha of hers. So Megillasa Nignezes. The first thing is the Megillah, the scroll that has the psukim on and Shem Hashem, of course, we put it in Genisa, the side of the Heichol and the Beis HaMikdash on the side, all Kisvei HaKodesh that you could not, you couldn't read, you would place them on the side, and that was Genisa, that what we call Shemos. Some say it was placed in the tzir, in the hinge of the delis of the door in the Heichol, Bishrilo Shach, so that it'll actually be ground in the sense that it would erase the words that are there as you turn every time you turn the door, eventually the whole thing would become erased. And that was what you did with the Megillah. Uminchasa, what about the Korban Mincha? Is Pazeres. It would be literally mean scattered, but it means it's burnt al hadeshen. What's the deshen? The deshen is where they would burn all psulei kodshei kodshim, which was in the Azara, the place called the Beis HaDeshen. You have that in Mishnayis. And that's because the mincha was already a kadosh in a kli shares. So it needs to be burnt. Vein megillasa ksher lahashkos basota acheres. The megillah sota has to be written lishmo. We mentioned this before. It says, va'asa lah ha-kohen es kol ha-torah hazos. And we darshan lah has to be lishmo. And therefore, that's why the megillah is nignezes, because it cannot be used for another sota. Nimcha koha So let's say after the Megillah, the first case was, it wasn't a raised death. She says, Eini Shoso, so then the Megillah is in Shemos, the Mincha is burnt, that's fine. But now, the Megillah, let's say it was already erased, and now she says, not Eini Shoso, but Tamea. She admits that she is Tamea. So here, she obviously is usher to her husband because of her admission. She does not drink the water because she's what do I need the water for? She's Biduka Va'omed. Has to be said. She's already checked. We know exactly that she's Tamea. So, and the as Rashi says, the Mayim Hamarim Lo Nitnu Ela Lavares HaSafik is only there to clarify a doubtful situation. But there is no doubtful situation anymore. So, what do you do with the water now? This is where, remember, the Megillah was already raised, but she says Tameani. So, Hamayim Nishpachim, we pour out the water, even though the Megillah was erased in those waters, because it wasn't necessary, because she admitted there's no Kedusha to the water, and therefore it can be poured out. Umin chasam is pazeras al hadeshen. As we said before, the korban mincha is scattered, is burnt in the beis hadeshen. So that's what happens if she says tameani after it was erased. What about nimchaka hamegillah v'amra eini shosa? Here we have the case where it was already erased and she says, I'm not drinking. So in the first case, it wasn't erased yet. She says, I'm not drinking. The second case, it was erased, but she says she admits tameani. In this case, the Megillah was already erased and she's not admitting to being tamea. She's just saying, I don't want to drink. So that already, that we're not going to listen to her because we don't know if it's already erased. So now we want to see if the water is going to check her. We don't say, oh, well, she says she doesn't want to drink, so therefore we shouldn't have her drink at all. We rather say, no, she is Tahora, and she's afraid about the water, and that far she says, Eini Shosa. Well, she was quiet till now, and now the Megillah's erased, so therefore, Ma'ararim Osa, we force the water, we open up her mouth and make sure that she drinks the water. Umashkin Osa, Bal Karcha, against her will. This is derived, and we had this before, it says, Vihishka, in the parsha, so it says it twice. It says v'hishkai so yishas mehamarim and v'hishkai samayim. And the chachamim learned that the second pasuk comes to teach us that if the Megillah was erased and she says any shosa, we force her to drink anyway. But as I quote from the Iri, based on the Gemara in Sota Dav Zayinim and Beis, u'mikol makom mishadlim ima techila l'shtosam biratza. We try that we don't force her. We try that she'll do it willingly. Ula hodiyah and inform her. Mishem adav or baruloshi Torah. If she's very very clear. She's 100%. She's Tahora. Lo tistrem en amayim. You don't have nothing to worry about. Shein amayim domim elisam yaveish hamunach al basarcha. You know what the mayim hamarim are like? It's like when you have some medicine, a dry medicine that you place on live flesh, literally. Meaning, if there's a shem yesha maka, if you have a wound there, mechalchel v'yorein, it'll go down and heal it. Vim ain't shem maka, there's no maka, ain't osiklum, doesn't do anything. Nothing you need to worry about at all. If you have put medicine on something on and there's no wound there, it's not going to affect you anyway. Perikimol Mishnah Dalet. Eino maspekas lishtos ad shaponeho morikos. So this is speaking about a case, how the water works on the sota who really was nitma. So what happens is she's hardly finished drinking already, and her face already, morikos, becomes green, becomes yellow. So if she really committed adultery, so she's affected, doesn't take a while. It sounds like it happens right away. Now we learned in Mishnah Beis, and Machlokas, whether the sota drinks the water before she brings the mincha, or afterwards. So it doesn't matter which one came first, because everyone agrees that the bitter waters only begin to test her, don't begin to test her before the mincha is offered, but it really doesn't matter. Meaning, if you look back in Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Beis has a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. And there it said that ha'yamashka of acharkach makavis minchas. According to Tanakam, according to the Chachamim, they would give it a drink and then bring the korban mincha. And Rabbi Shimon, omer no makavis minchas of acharkach mashke. If no, first you brought the mincha and then you give it the water and everyone's, it's all based on psukim. But whichever one you bring first, everyone agrees that the mayim hama'arim will only start to test her after the mincha was already offered. So if it's true that the Mishnah here says that her face begins to change color right as she starts drinking, that must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon is the one who said that the korban mincha of the sota was offered before she drank. So if you brought the korban mincha already, and then she begins to drink, so then the water can affect her right away. But according to the Chachamim, it can't be. It can't be so quick. Why? Because according to the Chachamim, you gave her the water first, and then she brought the korban mincha. If you give her the water first, and the mincha hasn't been brought yet, so the water can't test her yet. The water only begins, there's a delay, because it only begins to work after the korban mincha. And therefore, if our Mishnah is going to say that it begins to check her right away, it must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Ve'ineho boltos v'himis bales gidim. And her eyes begin to bulge, and she is full of gidim. Gidim means sinews, veins, arteries. It means that the veins in her face begin to swell. Looks like her whole body is face is covered with veins, so that's as her face begins to swell, but it's not just her face, but her body as well. So and that's what it means. V'him mismalis gidim v'him omrim hotziuha. And then they would, the Kohanim would say, the people who were there would say, you know, she begins to swell, so they take, get her out of the Azara, out of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what was the issue? So the Kohen gave her the Mayim HaMarim and the Ezras Nashim, and the Ezras Nashim didn't have the same status as the Azara itself. Let's say a dead body is not allowed in the Azara itself, but it is, but it has a different halacha when it comes to the Azara Ezras Nashim. So if she's in the Ezras Nashim, then she dies, we really don't have to rush her out for that reason. So the reason the Gemara says we have to rush out is because we're afraid she's Pirsa Nida, she becomes a Nida. So if she becomes a Nida, so then we would have to rush her out for that reason. And the fact that she's getting close to dying, maybe that would cause her to menstruate. So that's why we have to rush her. Now, it happens to be that Anida not only can't be in an Ezras Nashim, Anida can't even be on the Harabais. So according to some, what the Mishnah really means is Shalot Tameis Azara is not just the Azara, but it's really the Harabais. It's really the Harabais as well. So and some explain, well, the reason we focus on the Azara is because at the same time, it happens to be that she also may die. And therefore, putting the two things together, the concern, maybe it's true that the issue of becoming an Ida would apply to Arabais as well, but the issue of dying applies to the Azara, but only the Azara really wishes not. So maybe that's why we mentioned the Azara. Either way, says the Mishra, Im Yesh La Zuchus, Haysa Tole La, which means if the woman had some type of merit, so the punishment could potentially be delayed for a long time. We'll see in the Mishra for how long. So maybe she deserved to die because she committed adultery, but if she has some type of zuchus of Torah, that would protect her. What did the Gemara says? What are the examples? So it's true, woman doesn't have an obligation to study Torah, but says the Bar Tanura, the Gemara Chafalef Medalef Beforish Zuchus de Torah Hu de Tolalah Shaholicha Banel Beis HaSefer. She was the one who took her sons to go learn in yeshiva. Vimtina Labala She Yetze Chutzli Yolasok B'Torah. And she waited for her husband, or Sheyatza, who left the city to learn Torah. She waited for him when he went out of town to learn. She waited for him to leave, waited for him to come back. So these are zuchusim of Torah, and this could potentially hold up her death. In fact, the Mishnah says, Yesh zuchus, Tola Shana Achas, Yesh Zuchus Tola Shtei Shanim. You have a Zuchus that could hold this in abeyance for 1 year, and maybe for 2 years, and Yesh Zuchus Tola Shalosh Shanim. The greater the merit, so that's how long the punishment is going to be delayed. So the more she's involved in these types of Zuchusim, Zuchuyos related to Torah, helping her husband study and bringing her children to yeshiva, so that can delay the punishment. Happens to be, though, if she does begin to deteriorate even during that time with different illnesses, and at the end of the 3 years, so then she, in fact, whatever normally would happen to the Sota would happen to her as well. Bikanomer Ben Azza says, based on this concept of Zuchus that could protect her a little bit, Chayev, or delay at least her death, Ben Azza would say, Chayev Adam Lalamedis Bito Torah. A person is obligated to teach his daughter Torah, even though there's no obligation of a woman, a girl learning Torah. Nonetheless, a father should teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shem Tish Tesh. So, because if she would potentially have to drink the waters, the Me'am Arim, if she were a Sota, or maybe she'd see another Sota, she should know, and people should know, that it's not because the water is ineffective, and not because the waters have no impact, but rather because there's a zuchus there. So that would, instead of thinking that there's something wrong, that the waters really don't work, so this way she'll realize, oh, I know that there is a zuchus of Torah. And this way she'll realize it's not because the water is ineffective, but because she has some type of zuchus to hold off her punishment. Instead of saying, oh, look at that, the water didn't work. No, she'll know that it's because of the Torah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kol HaBalabit is Bito Torah, Kila Melamda Tiflus. No, actually, a person should not teach his daughter Torah. What person who teaches his daughter Torah, it's like teaching her sensuality, promiscuity, something that should not be done. The Bar Tanura says, Chibur Mishkav Anoshim, Shemitocha Torah Himivina Armimus, Vaose Devare Bahatznea. So what's the concern? The concern is that she may have a certain amount of wisdom gained from the study that she studies, and she's going to use it to hide her immoral behavior. Maybe she uses her knowledge to attract men, and this is something that should be avoided. Chafetz Chaim was already in his Likutei Halachos, already in his time, said that may have been true at a time when people had Mesorah and can learn from their parents everything, but we know that without educating both boys and girls, they're not going to learn. In his time, he felt that girls should already be learning. It's a mitzvah to teach them chumash and navi and ksuvim and avos and things like that for their religious growth, for their faith. And many have added on to that list as well. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rotza Isha Bekav Vitiflus Mitisha Kabin Uprishus. He said a woman would rather have one measure with tiflus, we'll see what that means, with immorality, with sensuality, with promiscuity, rather than nine measures and precious being poresh from tashmish. And therefore, what does it have to do with Talmud Torah? So one explanation is, Rabbi Shua is not arguing with Eliezer. He agrees that against Ben Azai, who said you should teach your Torah, Rabbi Yoshua agrees that yes, that we should not teach you Torah. But let me explain to you why this is. That a woman would rather have less money and more intimacy with her husband rather than more money. That's what it means. And less intimacy. So Rotsa Isha Bekava Tiflis. Tiflis here doesn't mean promiscuous, but it means to be intimate with her husband. She'd rather have that. So the point is, Rav Shua is saying, since a woman is interested more intimacy than money, so then we have to be very concerned with the immorality that may result from her study of Torah. And that's why we're afraid. Another possibility is a woman would rather have a general statement, which is a woman would rather have a husband who's around more we learned in Ksuvis about the different jobs and therefore the obligation of Tashmish of Onah for husband to wife. So let's say he's a donkey driver is there once a week as opposed to a camel driver, let's say, is away for a longer period of time. You have people for 6 months, people the sailor, even more. So even though they may be making more money, but because they're traveling, they're not home as often, we assume that a woman would rather have a husband who's around more rather than away more and making more money. And therefore, the Gemara there in Ksuvis discusses that her husband wants to change his job. And that's one of the questions is based on this principle. Hu Hayom Omer, and Rabbi Yeshua would say something else as well. Chassid Shote, V'Rasha, we'll give examples of these. A foolish, pious person, V'Rasha Arum, and a cunning Rasha, V'Isha Prusha, and a woman who separates herself, Umakos Prushim, and wounds of people who are parish, who think that they're pious, Hare Elu Mechala Ilum. These people ruin the world. So let's go through each one of them. What's a chassid shote? So the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph from the Beis speaks about a person, a man who says, he's so pious, he's not going to rescue a woman who's drowning. So that's a chassid shote. He's an idiot. Or let's say someone sees a child drowning and says, you know what, let me tell her before I save the child, I'm going to remove my tefillin, that you have the Yerushalmi. The Tosus quotes that on Chaf Aleph from the Beis. A Rasha Arum, what's his cunning, evil person, a person who comes to a judge, and he tells him before he even comes to court, he speaks to the judge so that now the judge has a bias. That's a Rasha Arum. This also, the Gemara in Chaf Aleph Amud Beis says, let's say someone who is strict, when someone asks him a shaila, he's strict for that person, but for himself, he's always lenient for himself. Isha Prush, an abstinent woman, is a woman who says, I'm a parish, I separate myself, she's a great asceticism, and at the same time, we see she abstains from so many things, some material pleasures, but she's really a sorceress, and she goes through, and she's involved in witchcraft, and she says, you know why these things are working, not because of witchcraft, but because I'm so pious. Umakos Prushim, wounds of people who are pious, who separate. A person who ends up getting wounds, he injures himself to show how parish, how humble he is, how pious he is. Let's say a person who doesn't lift his feet off the ground as he's walking and he bangs them all the time. Or he doesn't want to look at women, so he walks around with his eyes closed. He ends up banging into the wall or tripping. So such a person, that's makos prushim. These kinds of people are mechale olam. They ruin the world because of their Bartanura says sherotzim laharos lebrios shem chasidim vein tocham kevarim. Their inside is not like their outside, and that type of behavior that's insincere and deceptive is going to ruin the world.